For 10 years, Jamie, who lives near Wichita, suffered from marital rape. The sexual assault began when she was 14 years old. Jamie, like many, feel there is no way out. This is Jamie's story.
When I met him, he was 17, and he was the cat's meow, as you want to call it. And so I thought I could, you know, attract him. I was the girl with braces and the curly red hair, you know. So he and I met, and we hit it off. He was very charming. And then he started to gradually be very controlling of, like, don't go out with any of your friends. I don't want you to have any friends. I don't want you to go to your family reunions because, you know, you might meet somebody somewhere else. So he started off pretty nice, but then it just very quickly and smoothly did it turn rotten. Well, the first time we had sex, I mean, I was okay with it. That same night, we went riding around, and he wanted to go out in the country, which, you know, that was typical in our small town. You know, you have only country. So he had me stop, and we started making out, and then he got in the back seat and he wanted me to go back there, and I said no, I wasn't going to do it, so he yanked me over there. And from there, he began to rip my clothes off, and he pinned my head between the door and the seat so I couldn't breathe, and I was trying to yell at stop, and he was laughing the entire time. And he says, you were okay with the first time, it's okay now, you're mine. And he raped me for the first time, and he bragged about it. I didn't tell anybody. I kept it to myself. I felt very dirty. I went home, I showered, and I wasn't going to tell my parents because I really was a flirt, and I had a really trashy mouth, so they weren't going to believe me that this happened, that it was my fault, and that's what I felt. And so I stayed with him. Okay, what would happen is, okay, he would grab me, and he'd force himself in my mouth. So that would, to the point where I'm gagging, and that was one part of it. Then he would flip me over, and he would make me do anal sex. There would not be any lubrication whatsoever. There was a lot of blood. I would be to the point of I was screaming and crying and begging him to stop. That would be one session. And then he would get up, make me clean him up, and get him something to eat and sit on the couch with him. Then there'd be other times where he did use a loaded gun. It was a hand pistol and no safety on it, and there was actual bullets in there. He did tell me, he said, you know, I could kill you right here, right now. It wouldn't hurt me a bit. I have your life in my hands. And of course, I thought he was just trying to make a threat. And I started laughing, trying to break him. And he pulls it out of me, and he empties the bullets into his hand. He then got a bat, a wooden baseball bat. He used both ends of the bat and inserted them in me. He wanted to see how big I was and how much pain I could handle. If I screamed, he would go deeper. So you learn to not say a word. What would trigger him is with his violence would be anything. It could be from the house not being exactly what he wants, or I burned some food, or my kids had a mess on their face, or the fact that he was tired, the fact that I was sick, it didn't matter. Anything would trigger him. There wasn't a really set thing for him to be triggered. He was very, you never knew until you seen him and you watched his body language and you watched his face. His eyes gave it away every time. I never had a pap smear. I never had any kind of checkups after the bat or the gun or any of those things. You know, it was one of those. It's like I was embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. For one, you know, you're bleeding. You have feces all over you. You're in pain. They're going to ask you what happened. What are you going to tell them? I couldn't tell them the truth. And I would have lied anyway. So, no, I didn't go. What made me stay with him? I did not graduate. I didn't have a high school diploma. I dropped out when I was 16. I started having children, and I was on my own. He was a correction officer. He would come home and he told me that he would tell inmates that were getting out what I look like, what our kids look like, when we'd be home, and they were rapists and murderers. And so he wanted to make sure, hey, this is where they're going to be at. Take care of them. The way I got out was he cheated on me. I had found his letters and so forth. At first, I was very upset because I gave my life to this man, to the point of I was so codependent. I didn't know what my favorite color was. I didn't know what I liked to eat. I had to ask him what I liked. I didn't know any of it. And then I felt like I was thrown aside like garbage. I mean, I've gone through all this and now you're going to find somebody else? I finally told my dad when I kicked my husband out, and he was livid. He said, I wish I would have known beforehand. I would have gotten you out. We would have called the cops. We would have gotten you safe. But see, I didn't think they would believe me, so I didn't. Knowing that I could have, I wish I did.
For the past 8 years, Jamie has been happily married to her new husband. Her former husband now lives in another state. For KMUW News, I'm Carla Eccles.